This edition of the week is sponsored by Invitrogen. Gibco Cell Culture products now feature easy-to-read, color-coded, and writable labels that are easy to find. Take a closer look at www.invitrogen.com/labels.
This week, should scientists help the public understand their findings in a social context?
The scientist needs to do some framing to set up that output of facts in order that they be something that people are receptive to and are open to hearing.
Or should scientists leave framing to the media and politicians?
I think scientists need to stick for the most part to what they have data to prove and to show.
Hi, I'm Andrea Garleski, and you're listening to The Week, the weekly news podcast from The Scientist. In our October issue, Matthew Nisbet and Dietram Scheufele encourage scientists to engage in framing, that is, tailoring scientific findings in ways that make them personally relevant and meaningful to different audiences. In preparation for the article, we asked you to tell us what you thought about framing and complete an online poll about the subject. We received more than 60 comments from our readers, representing many different opinions. In this week's podcast, senior editor Allison McCook discussed framing in science with two readers, Earl Holland, assistant vice president for research communications at Ohio State University, and Mark Powell, program director of fish conservation for Ocean Conservancy, an advocacy group dedicated to protecting oceans. Powell begins by explaining his first experience with framing science.
I was a research scientist and expected to continue a career as a research professor and college teaching career. And I ended up deciding to leave that career to pursue advocacy because of my interest in environmental protection. I really wanted to get more directly involved in promoting good environmental protection. And I expected what I would do was use my strength as a scientist to talk to people about scientific information that demonstrated the need for improved environmental protection in my home area, which is the Pacific Northwest, specifically Oregon. We were at the tail end of struggles to protect old-growth forests, and it was turning into another struggle to also protect endangered salmon runs, and I really wanted to be actively involved in that. So I thought my scientific strength would be something I could use to help promote social change. And what I quickly found is that by presenting people with scientific information about a need for change, I really got nowhere and found myself running head-on into what I'm loosely calling people's values. In particular, I was working in places like outside of Roseburg, Oregon, which is a town with a strong timber industry and not a very strong environmental movement. And when I talked to people up front about scientific information on the need to reduce logging or modify logging practices in order to protect endangered salmon and preserve old-growth forest ecosystem values, pretty much got shut down from the word go. And I later concluded that what I thought was happening was that people had a value system that said logging is a good thing, logging is a benefit to society, logging is not bad guys doing harm. And the information that I presented got filtered and categorized as attacking that value system. And so what I learned to do over time, and again, this lesson has been reinforced, this was about 15 years ago, this lesson has been reinforced in other things that I've done. If I started out trying to connect with people and build some rapport and some trust and talking about, hey, what do you care about? Do you care about salmon? And a lot of the people that I talk to like to fish, so of course they care about salmon. Do you care about wildlife? Are you a hunter? People would answer yes, and we'd start talking about that. And sometimes I could even get people who were in the employment of the timber industry to talk about, you know, I have seen things done wrong in logging. I have seen things that could be done better in order to do a better job of protecting salmon. But I had to get past that initial barrier of resistance. And I call my response trying to get past that barrier. I learned how to frame my science. I learned how to present the material in a way that built some trust with people first and basically opened their ears so that they were able to hear what I was saying and consider it, rather than what felt to them like throwing a bunch of facts that were contrary to their value system, and which, in response to that, they would simply dismiss. They would not listen. They would not pay attention. They would doubt the truth value of the so-called facts that I was reporting to them. So I think in that case, I was serving as an environmental advocate, and I think framing was a critical step for me. Over time, I've seen the necessity of scientists to do some of the same things, because in many cases, scientists talking pure science do not communicate at all. The people that they're speaking to just can't really hear what they're saying. And so some of it needs to come from the practicing scientists themselves, because occasionally I will get a request from somebody, well, okay, you work for an environmental group, you're presenting the science, but I really want to hear this from the researcher. I really want to hear this straight from the mouth of the person who's the world expert. And that person, I think, needs to do some of the same sort of framing type exercise in order to get people to be fertile listeners, to hear the message of the science.
Okay. Earl, would you like to respond and get into you think about everything?
Yeah, let me jump in. And I think Mark's outline is interesting from that standpoint. He's coming in it from a standpoint of advocacy and taking a position. My experience in the past 35 years has been that of a science reporter, a medical writer, an environmental writer, and with the task being primarily to translate the substance of the research and place it in a context in which people on the street would show an interest and have a care about it. It's a completely different perspective, and you know, when it comes to framing, I've got some fairly strong feelings against it in the context of the arena that I just outlined, that of science reporting and science journalism and environmental journalism, environmental reporting, medical writing, and the like. The main problem that I have with it is that fundamentally framing is excellent and it's essential for what we refer to as persuasive communications. In other words, communications and information that one wants to flow, wants to give forth to state a case, to back a position, to argue one viewpoint or value. Nothing wrong with that. It's just I don't want journalists doing that, because journalists' job is to report in a semi-unbiased, there is no unbiased journalism, but a semi-unbiased standpoint. And I see this framing argument being pitched not only to those people who wish to support a position and convince and persuade, but also that should be a viewpoint that should be adopted at least in part by the communications community, those people whose job it is to basically translate. Nothing wrong with framing in the sense of if you want to persuade, but I'm not so sure that everybody comes to science wanting to be persuaded one way or the other.
What do you think about when scientists are talking about their work? How would you categorize that? Is that a form of journalism to you or no?
Well, the scientists clearly are not journalists. If they were, all the science journalists would be out of jobs. If they did that effectively, there would be no reason for us to have the occupations that we do. And it's clear that since there are a number of us out there, that scientists as a class don't do necessarily as good a job as they really need to do in explaining their work. But that exists regardless of whether or not you're trying to persuade someone to an issue or a viewpoint or something like that or not.
Do you think there is any context in which scientists would benefit from using framing when they're talking
sure.
to the public?
Absolutely. When a scientist is going to speak before a congressional committee, when a scientist is going to take a position before the state legislature, when a scientist wants to step out of his or her role to serve as an expert, then based on their own research, then certainly certainly they can take on any type of advocacy position they want. But when they are speaking about their own research, they need to draw a strong line between what it is that they have learned and know from scientific process, from their colleagues' work and alike, and have that be separate from any political agenda. Personally, I just don't want scientists to be advocating policy when they should be providing better science.
I think your comments are very fair. I think you draw a very useful distinction between persuasive communications and other types of sort of, not sure if you gave it any specific term, but something more appropriately called fact reporting. And I think in general terms, the difference between us is not that great. I would like to zero in on a point that you didn't speak to directly, which I think, in my opinion, is the largest need for scientists to get better at framing, and that is in the context of an inflamed policy debate such as climate change. Is it real? Do we need to do something about it? I think when scientists enter that arena that's already sort of supercharged and politically hot and has already been spun and framed and twisted by a lot of different people in a lot of different directions, I think to enter into an arena like that and to attempt to do fact reporting, I think, is like walking into a chainsaw. And I think we've seen a number of prominent scientists suffer inability to communicate in that situation. And so I think I would say that that's maybe a subset of a persuasive communication need where the public has already been hit pretty hard with a lot of persuasive attempts, and a scientist attempting to do pure fact reporting would find that fact reporting to be something that was not very well understood or not very well heard. And so I would offer the suggestion, I wonder what you think about this, that in an arena like that, a scientist almost has to do defensive framing to sort of level the playing field and to create an opportunity to do something closer to fact reporting. So it's an interesting sort of minor subset of communication, but it's some of the types of science communication that I think is most important in our culture right now, because we're trying to find, many scientists are trying to find ways to get public policy, for example, global warming policy, to be better informed by science. And in a pure, unbiased world, that could be done with fact reporting. But when the world is already so badly skewed by other people's framing work, I think a scientist needs to do some defensive framing in order to just enter the conversation.
Well, let me give you some feedback, and I want to give you an example of what worries me. The feedback is that I don't have any qualms whatsoever about scientists entering into the public arena and making their argument one way or the other. What concerns me is the public sees the role of the scientist as a person who is more or less unbiased, an independent source. We turn to scientists for fact and data from which we supposedly, and I emphasize supposedly, make our decisions. Clearly, we don't make our decisions that way, and that's a kind of caveat to all of this stuff, but that is the role of science historically and currently. How is the public supposed to be able to determine whether or not a scientist is speaking from his own political agenda, and I say political with a small p, or are they speaking from their own research? The example I'll give you, it came from here. Our Sunday paper ran a op-ed column by the editorial page editor advocating a book by Danish economist Bjørn Lomborg, who is basically saying that there's global climate change is much ado about nothing. Went on and on about this. I went ahead and flashed that to, I've been covering climate change for at least the last quarter of a century. We've got a whole host of some of the world's leaders here on campus dealing with that. I reflected this to them. They responded back pointing to questions about this individual's expertise and asking why it was cited as a recommendation. The response from the editorial page editor when I raised that issue was, sounded like a pretty good argument. It hit my hot buttons. I did an editorial on it. Fact never played a role in that thing. None of the facts. One of the experts I turned to just got the National Medal of Science for his work for the last 30 years on global climate change, and yet this other stuff takes the fore. I worry about the absence of fact and the orientation toward argument or persuasion or agenda setting in this type of thing.
I'm sort of pondering the example, and I think it's a good one. It's a rich example, and it's a real conundrum that we face as people interested in having public policy that's well informed by science. I think my off-the-cuff reaction is that that's an example of the kind of forum I was trying to address with my earlier comment, that that's an issue that's already been framed so heavily by so many people that there is no such thing as an unframed communication in that field. I wonder if there's a possibility to connect some of the scientists that you've talked about with the editor in question, really build up a little bit of a relationship and try to inoculate that editor against that kind of, I'm not sure what
well,
to call
let,
it.
Let me give you some feedback on that because the editor, quite frankly, he's a very intelligent individual. We worked with him many times in the past, and this was really anomalous in his behavior and his argument from this standpoint. The researchers that I referred to have had numerous meetings with him, and that newspaper has recorded quite faithfully what the science says about climate change and has positioned in this way. My point is, it's very easy for people in senior editorial positions in journalism or in political positions, as we have seen countless times in the past, to just place this false balance in a situation and basically lend weight to one side that isn't deserved by the data. My concern with respect to framing is framing plays into that. Framing, as it has been described to me by, I would imagine, 36 scientists at our institution that I've talked with on this, they perceive it, regardless of whether or not it is really this, they perceive this as spin. They perceive this as a situation of we're losing the battle of public opinion because the other side is inaccurately spinning or unfairly spinning something in a direction. If we are going to play in this arena, we have to spin too. And I find that disingenuous. I understand the practicality of it, but I don't think it's what the public demands and deserves of scientists.
From my perspective, framing resembles spin, but it isn't really spin, because to me, spinning is dishonest. And to me, the key aspect of framing that's important is that it's purely honest. It's an attempt to...
But differentiate the two for me, because from our standpoint, and this has been part of the dialogue, at least nationally, the difference between framing and spinning. It comes across as semantics, because from that standpoint, in both sides, what you are doing is selectively choosing frames of reference. You are selectively choosing the data that you're including. You're selectively choosing the arguments being made, and you're selectively excluding other things that might expand the discussion. It's a narrowing process, which is effective in getting your point across. But I'm not so sure all this talk about staying on message and keeping a point of view and being an advocate is an appropriate role for scientists to have, except in their own personal and private positions. If you're a researcher for a public university, I think you need to be independent and dependent only on the substance of your data. What you want to do as a private citizen, I think everyone has the freedom that they want.
Well, I don't think that's actually a fair characterization of what framing is. I think that the idea that it's a narrowing or a selective reporting of facts, I don't think is true at all. In my view, and this is a term that I'm going to borrow, people are cognitive misers, and they don't want to think deeply about very many things. And so when confronted with a message, the temptation, and almost the urgent temptation, is to quickly funnel a message into one of a number of pre-existing categories. And it's very common that that can shut down all thought. And so my example about the people who were in a logging community and who made whose families made a living off of logging, they had a frame that logging is good and that people who criticize logging are hysterical environmental extremists. And if I said something that was easy to funnel into that frame, then they quit listening. And they didn't hear any facts at all.
Well, I think
alternatively,
that's clear, but...
Excuse me, can I finish that? So alternatively, if I started with an opening gambit that's not so much about facts, but about asking people what they care about, it's sort of a hi, how you doing approach. It's trying to get people to recognize me as not somebody that they can funnel into that pre-existing frame, and rather get them to sit down and listen to me as an independent, unique individual with a science-based message that they might actually want to hear. And if, and I think what framing does is it opens the door of their mind, prevents them from funneling my message into a pre-existing category and shutting down all thought, and gets them to listen to and consider my message. So it's not about what you say or how you spin it. It's about speaking to the people that you're speaking to with a recognition of who they are, and basically starting the conversation with, here's why you should care about what I'm about to say. And only after you get them to care, then do you go into the science-based message, the fact-based message. And the difference is they're actually hearing it the second time with the message properly framed.
That was the scientist Allison McCook talking to Earl Holland and Mark Powell. You can read the results of our online survey about framing science at thescientist.com. And while you're there, check out our daily news, editors' blogs, and other articles from the October issue of The Scientist. That's all for the podcast this week. Thanks for tuning in.
This edition of The Week was brought to you by Invitrogen. Gibco Cell Culture products now feature easy-to-read, color-coded, and writable labels that are easy to find. Take a closer look at www.invitrogen.com/labels.